inside of HTML content.
Here we go. Here's an article for you. Hopefully, it's not too fast, because I've never done it this way before. But I don't know how else to do it either.
Heading level 2-2 items. A voice over the fan still perpetuating the joke. Space. A voice over the fan still perpetuating the joke. Space. 5/13/2014. Patty K. Lily. TinyRedRose.gif image. Author's note. I just received word of the passing of one of my oldest readers. Many other writers out there may recognize his name as well. Rest in peace, Uncle Phil. You get to watch Races again with Dale and the rest of the gang on track. Thanks again for that real Song of the South tape. Would hate my granddaughters to have missed Uncle Remus for some silly PC movements. So happy you enjoyed the salad. I'll make some on Memorial Day in your memory. Oh, and I'll miss you, buddy. I bid you welcome, gentle readers, to yet another useless bit of trivia concerning that place known as the NASCAR Hall of Fame. A warm welcome is extended as well to our assigned NASCAR reader, who can probably be found in the Fan and the Espionage Center in beautiful Charlotte, NC. But to that I cannot attest with certainty. Just over a month ago, we shared link a discussion on how the voting works at the Hall of Fame, not coincidentally also located in Charlotte, NC, which has become an annual tradition that I like to call talking to the wall, as no one anywhere listens or seems to care. In that particular little rant, I carefully explained as best I could exactly how much the aggregate fan vote figures into the mix and the minuteness of the power of a single ballot cast by a single fan. What I said was, your vote is a joke. Well, guys and gals, on Friday I cast my single ballot, as promised. That's it. One person, one vote, the American way, in some states, sometimes. In truth, the way voting is conducted for that pseudo-honor is so skewed and ridiculous that I'm glad it counts for almost not. Vote as many times as you like, for over a month. This voter wouldn't want the local dog catcher elected by that method, but it seems fair and balanced to NASCAR. Draw your own conclusions from that. Also, as promised, I took a screenshot of my ballot after it was cast, along with a warm invitation to vote again, which I declined without comment. My plan, therefore, if I can make it fit the page, will be to show you my ballot and briefly explain my reasons for choosing each candidate. Before going into that, though, allow me to state that everyone on the ballot will at some point deserve admission. All are worthy of the nomination they have received, though we've sadly learned that they can apparently be nominated at whim. My point of view, and hence my voting, comes from being one of the old PA charts and remembering things perhaps NASCAR and the reigning family France would just as soon be forgotten. Picture image. 8080500 underline norig.jpg image. Red Byron. Please, gentle readers, take time to read the short bio offered on Red. Just click more beneath his or any of the pictures of nominees to learn more about them. Red Byron was the first winner of a NASCAR sanctioned race. He was the first champion in the modified division, and the first in strictly stock Grand National / Winston Cup et al. As well. How is it even possible that a man with such a record can have been passed over for 5 years for admission to a Hall of Fame supposedly representing the sport in which he won those honors? I realize that the teens and 20-somethings reading this have probably never heard of Red Byron, but you should have, and so many more like him. Because he died young should not preclude him from his rightful place, somewhere at the top of the list of invitees into a Hall of Fame that is meaningless without him. 8080500 underline norig.jpg image. Fred Lawrenson, NASCAR's Golden Boy. I see questions on Fred's bio page asking why he didn't run all the races. That's simple. In the early days, no one not named Petty ran all the races. Racing didn't pay back then the fortune that it does today. None of the drivers lived in $5 million homes on Lake Norman. They probably didn't know where Lake Norman was, unless they were fishermen. Some of the really good ones could make a living from racing alone, but most raced more as a hobby or avocation, relying on a regular job to feed and clothe the family. Fearless Fred won far more than his share for the short seasons he raced. The Hall of Fame has picked a great picture of Freddie in his younger days. It's no wonder they called him the Golden Boy. Please realize that today, that handsome young man will turn 80 years old in December. Fred suffers from dementia, but at last word from his daughter, does have some lucid moments still, especially when the talk is of racing. Like so many others, who all should have been automatic members of the NASCAR Hall of Fame, he waits to see what comes first. Will he be admitted or forgotten as all of us old timers slowly die off and there is no one left to remember? 8080500 underline norig.jpg image. Raymond Parks. This is one that truly hurts my old and tired heart. In that last article, I gave you a picture of Raymond visiting the Hall of Fame and admiring a statue of him amongst other reminders, but though he should have been in the HOF from the day the first shovel of dirt was turned, Raymond died on June 20th, 2010, still awaiting admission, which to this date has never come. I won't leave this explanation to my own inadequate words when I can give you link, a beautiful eulogy. Written by an acquaintance of mine here in Georgia, Brandon Reed, who writes for GeorgiaRacingHistory.com in conjunction with the Georgia Racing Hall of Fame. He tells a pretty fair story of what Raymond Parks did for NASCAR and racing in general, though he does not mention that first meeting at the Streamline Hotel in Daytona Beach, Florida, which Mr. Parks attended and financed along with so much else. Yes, Bill France had the ideas and was a great promoter, but when funding was needed, it was Raymond Parks' hand in his pocket to cover the bills. Because this is Raymond Parks and because he is so important to me and all others that remember his voice, his smile and his personality, not to mention his contributions to racing over so very many years, I have a couple videos very pertinent to what a great man he was. The first is an interview with Raymond himself at age 94, conducted by Kyle Petty, with inserts by Neil Thompson, author of Driving with the Devil, telling a bit of what it was like back in the day. Frame. Safari Power Saver, click to start Flash plugin button. The second is a short video made in 2009 at the Dawsonville, GA Moonshine Festival. The background song is Back Roads and Moonshine from the CD, Racers and Chasers, performed by Jay Sellers and the crew, written by Jay and a man named Jeff. It's a lovely lasting tribute to a great man, and doesn't forget to credit a man named Bill. How can Bill's surviving family forget to credit Raymond Parks? Frame. Safari Power Saver, click to start Flash plugin button. 8080500 underline norig.jpg image. Curtis Turner. Once called the Babe Ruth of stock car racing, there's more to tell about Curtis than there's room to tell in this missive. Rest assured that NASCAR hasn't told even a tenth of the story in the short bio provided. Watch these pages for an update on Curtis that will explain so much better why he gets my vote this year. This is my first ballot cast for either Curtis or Little Joe Weatherly, simply because others were more important, though that does not necessarily include all that have been inducted. NASCAR, as always, is playing to the tune of the dollar, and feels that younger folks are the key to bringing in the demographic they seek and getting them to part with their money in order to see folks such as Rusty Wallace and Dale Jarrett ensconced in the Hall of Fame that does not include Raymond Parks. My feelings differ. 8080500 underline norig.jpg image. Joe Weatherly. Better known as Little Joe due to his small stature, or the Clown Prince of Racing because of his penchant for joking, most of them of the practical sort, Joe is the only two-time champion not yet inducted into the Hall of Fame. That alone should make him a slam dunk for induction this year, but don't place your bets on it. My guess is that Bill Elliott will go in on first ballot, simply because he's Bill Elliott. Don't misunderstand, I adore awesome Bill and we are neighbors separated by only perhaps 30 miles. Bill is a champion and I was there to watch him in times where the best and Fords were the fastest, especially the ones for which Ernie built the engines and Bill drove to super speedway wins galore. Still, Bill is a single championship winner and Joe has two, though that didn't matter when Wallace and Jarrett were inducted, each being a single-time champion. 8080500 underline norig.jpg image. Yes, I have my ideas of who will be announced on May 21st as the class of 2015, the next five to be inducted into the hall, and for certain they won't all have been on my ballot. Even I had a hard time narrowing it down to five, and my heart would not be broken if Ray Fox, Rex White, or Wendell Scott went in ahead of one or two of my choices, but not ahead of Raymond Parks. Benny, next year you'll get my single vote. You'll be in soon, my friend. Very soon they still do not provide a space for write-ins, but they should, gentle readers. They should. I believe that if that option were to be offered, that Henry, Smokey, Unic would be placed in nomination by the fans on the first try, and I would be one of those working feverishly to see that it happened. Ah well, enjoy the trade.
It's now time for our classic country closeout to bring our time together to a close for today. My kid brother Mike always had a saying when we were growing up that I loved anyone named Hank. Well, he wasn't far off, though there were Red and Tex and Roy and so many others too. This one comes from my high school days, the 1950s, the age of innocence as I've heard it referred to many times. It was a wonderful time to be young and we had wonderful music to help us grow. This one comes from Hank Snow, kind of an anomaly in country music, as he was Canadian, not from the Southeast or Southwest, where most country and Western, as it was called back then, singers hailed from. You could never tell it from his voice or his guitar playing on any of the thousands of songs he recorded over his lifetime. Please enjoy Hank Snow singing Stolen Moments. Frame. Safari Power Saver. Click to start Flash plugin button. Be well, gentle readers, and remember to keep smiling. It looks so good on you. Tilda Patty K. TinyRedRose.gif image. Link. Email Patty K. Twitter follow button frame.
Well, there it is. It was faster than I thought it was going to be. I'm not sure why. And you should really probably go read it for yourself on
Safari busy.
Her website.
Follow at Mama PKL on Twitter. Safari.
Shut up. I'm done with you. Shut up! I'm done with you! It won't stop talking! Shut up! You should probably go check it out on Brace Fans Forever. Or, stop talking! Or follow her on Twitter. Anyways. I would have clicked on all of the links for you if I knew how to use audio editing software so that you could hear her previous article as well as the eulogy to, who was it? Raymond Parks, I think? And maybe even the song at the end. And I might have, even if I had extra time on this audio boo, played or let it read the comment section, because I think they're quite interesting. Then you could have heard what I said. Alas, I did not, and it's probably too fast for you to understand anyways. So go check it out. Race Fans Forever. Or Mama PKL on Twitter.